Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. My wife is not with me. A week ago, Wednesday, she had a stent put in. She's been doing pretty good on the recovery. We attended a wedding in Weston, Missouri yesterday. She got up this morning, and she has morning pills and evening pills. And she took her evening pills this morning, and when last I saw her, she was dozing on the couch. So she's not with us this morning, but she is recuperating, doing pretty good. What I want to talk to you about are not my words. They're the words of a prophet from a long time ago. And I want to ask that you look at the words that I quote, that I offer, what I say today. And on this first screen, there's something wrong with it. It's not the way you spell reins. There's no G in it. So what I offer, think about, pray about it, and we'll grow together. Not just us, but what I talk about during the presentation. Now, my wife, yesterday, we watched footage on the 9/11, and she made a statement. She said, you know, it's funny how you remember where you were, who was around you, what was said, and how you reacted to 9/11 or the assassination of JFK, or for those that are old enough, going back to World War II, you remember Pearl Harbor when that was news. You remember the statement of Roosevelt. And there are things that stick in our mind that we can play back upon for guidance in the present day and into the future. And the Word of God is the same way. So what I'm going to be offering are moments in time from centuries ago. But as you look at the prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah, as they looked at what God laid upon them, upon their hearts, their minds, upon their soul, they saw not just what lay before them, the present situation that they were to endure as a nation, as a people, in fulfilling the will of God, but they caught glimpses of the future. So there are gems there for you and I as we look at this. Now, the quote was, I try the reins. And Jeremiah used that quote as the Lord laid it upon his heart. So I'm going to begin by looking at Jeremiah 16, and I'll read verses 10 through 21, if you want to turn to that. Jeremiah 16, starting with verse 10. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? They heard his words, and immediately within their heart, it didn't find a place to take root. They were rejecting what the prophet gave them. They wanted to know why and what have we done? What separates us from our God? Verse 11, Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. So their fathers, a generation before, had forsaken the word of God. They had made a choice. As they were assimilated into another nation, another power, their laws, their influence, they began to forget about God. Verse 12, and ye, speaking to the children, another generation, have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart. They had left the word of God, his commandments, his law, had engaged upon this path that their fathers chose, and they forgot all about God. And they listened to their heart that did not keep the law, the commandments of God. They listened to the evil that was planted within their heart. And the Lord says, that they may not hearken unto me. Verse 13. Therefore will I cast you out of this land, into land that you know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. They were underneath this Babylonian influence, this rule, and they assimilated that way of life. It became theirs. They no longer looked to the God for guidance, for direction. Verse 14. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And that was a common greeting amongst the people as they saw a stranger or each other, their neighbors, their friends, their family. They greeted each other with a remembrance of the Lord. That it shall no more be said. Verse 15, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their father. The Lord is laying upon the prophet of old a vision yet to come, how they were to be driven forth upon the north, the lands that he drove them to, even the isles of the sea. But the Lord says, I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. The Lord remembered that promise, that inheritance to this group of people, and it was not lost upon him. It was lost upon those he prophesied to at that time, but it was in their mind that they might remember it someday once again. Verse 16. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after a while I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. We had a couple of fishermen on the front row this morning that had a pole, a line, and a fish on the end of it, playing with it. But yet, this is talking about men that were sent forth to be spiritual fishers of that people that were dispersed. And I thought about the Word of God, the Bible, and the Book of Mormon together, cast as a net to bring his children back again. And the Lord says that he is going to send forth hunters that didn't cast a net, but they were specifically sent to a people or a group at a request to the Lord for help. And as I read that, I thought about you and I. We are that people that hunts today to recover his children throughout the world. Verse 17, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face. Dispersed throughout the world, but yet the Lord knows exactly where they are. Neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes. It's not hidden, and they may secret within themselves, but the Lord knows the heart. Verse 18, and first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double. The Lord is visiting them because of their choice to bring them to a state of humility. And what does the Book of Mormon say? That state of humility is where the Lord reaches out and works with you and I, all his children, all that will hear. And without that humility, we go our own way. Because they have defiled my land, they have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. Therefore, behold, I will cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. Now, if you think about that, you remember the movie where Charlton Heston is Moses, and he's talking to the burning bush, and God lays upon his heart what he is to do, to go to the people and remind them of God. And Moses, Charlton Heston, said, they'll want to know what your name is. I am that I am. This is a logo that was put together for a 20-year celebration in the Philippines from the date that it was established. And they put it together. If Charles Brantner was here as a member of the board of publication, he would probably have had a problem with that seal upon that church. But if you notice, it is a gathering together of those that the Lord is reaching out to. A 20-year celebration, and we're past that point by a couple of years. And they've made great progress. Now, this was given at an appreciation dinner this last July for Gordon and myself. Appreciation of our labor, our input, our time, and our love. But as I read what is offered here, and later on by evangelist Samson, when they thank Gordon and I, they're thanking you, the body of people that enable the hunters to go forth and to plant seeds and to work on humility, to bring his children back, to remind them of who they were and are and will be. We were happy to see you again, and we warmly welcome you both. I'm praising God to be so blessed, as we have a shepherd who loves his flocks this much. The Lord Jesus Christ reaching out to his flocks wherever he has dispersed them. I would like to thank you for your spiritual guidance, for your compassion and empathy, willingly given in times of our need. Thank you so much, sir, for all you do, especially for visiting us. I thank God for giving you the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I think back, she's thanking me for possessing these three things, and also Gordon. But who planted the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding? The ministry I have known throughout these years, I've been a member of the Church of Christ. The members, you, that I've associated with during these many years, we build up a knowledge, a wisdom, an understanding to share with others, not just for self. Your sermons during youth camp, not just in the youth camp, are so touching that they inspire us to always strive hard to do the will of God. I pray that God will continue to use you in mighty ways. I pray for your good health and God's protection wherever you go. We do appreciate both of you, not just Gordon and I, but that's you. You are a blessing to me and to all of us. No words can express how much we love and appreciate your hard works for us. Once again, thank you and see you soon. Now that was not given by a minister. That was given by a member of the Church of Christ, Ellen Campos. She's a school teacher. It surprises me she's still single, but she is selective with the church she joins, and I'm sure she's selective with young men. And she's lasted all these years and is not married yet, but she's a gentle, loving soul. This is the logo that they put together for the youth camp. And this was, I think, number 16. Because of COVID, we took off 2 years. One of those years, they had regional camps. 1 year, we held nothing. But this year, we were able to get back together. And it was held July 18 through 21. And they called it 5G. Next slide, I'll show you why. It was God, growth, greatness, generosity, and go. And those were the five subjects that were talked upon by our native brethren, ministry there in the Philippines, and Gordon and myself. Now, they gave me the last, go. And I had a hard time with go. What do you do scripturally with the word go? And then I prayed about it. And God laid upon me, you remember Enos, that went into the jungle to find God that he had been instructed of by his earthly father? And he prayed all day, all night, into the next. And his sins were lifted. And because of that, as he reached that humility and felt that lifting of sin, remember at the end of that reading, after he prayed for himself, his family, his enemies, and the work that it be preserved, what did God finally tell him? Go to it. Three small words. And I knew what I was to talk about. But anyway, in this youth camp, we had 367 youth campers, 15 members of the priesthood, 28 leaders and wives, and children too small that they couldn't live at home. So we had 425 people there. And now, Belinda and Michelle and Steve, how do you feed 425 people three square a day? That's the way they cooked it. You didn't have to ask a person if they were the cook or worked in the kitchen. You could smell it on them. They smelled like wood smoke wherever they went. They used the biggest pots and pans. They had anywhere from 4 to 6 of those going at a time. 467 people. This is a newest member of the priesthood. This is Jonel Cabriatis. He's one of the sons of Jonel Cabriatis, who is an elder. And he was called to be a teacher. He didn't think he knew enough to be a teacher. And God gave him a dream and experience that convinced him that what had been planted within him was enough as he continued to work with God. He's a geologist by trade, and his wife is too. He is quiet, reflective, and if he says something, it's something worth listening to. His wife, on the other hand, is bubbly, over the top all the time. She's fun to be around. And Jonel is too. They make a great couple. They have one kid. And she's a geologist also. Now, the calling of him to be a teacher was right on the heels of we lost two priests and one teacher. Because of their decisions and the path they had chosen was apart from God. And everybody was down in the dumps dealing with that. And we did, according to our articles of faith and practice, according to the scriptures. And they were dealt with and invited to come back if they were repentant. And on the heels of that, we had this calling. God is mindful of the low times and the times of celebration. This is Elder Dimitrio Ndangan, who is now 92 years old. That's his wife, Rimelda. We call her Rimi. She's a little bit younger than probably about Steve's age, mid-70s. And she takes good care of him. As you notice, he's in a wheelchair now. He's not able to get out. So his life, his service, his ministry is confined to New Sabonga. But he was Frank Fan's go-to interpreter all the years. I had a different interpreter. Frank liked Demi. And he called upon him. One time, I had Dimitrio Ndangan for an interpreter. And I was on a roll on a sermon. And I gave two short little sentences. And he interpreted. And it went on and on and on. Now, when you interpret from English to a foreign language, most of the time it is longer. But this was like a book. And after the sermon, I said, Dimitrio, why did you talk on and on and on? And he looked at me with a twinkle in his eye, and he said, sir, you used bad English. He cleaned it up for me. He made sense out of it. But he's still active, as well he can be. This is a picture. It's hard to get everyone in there, of the crowd of young people we had, 12 to probably about 19, there were a couple that were in their early 20s, but most of them were about that age, 12 to 19, 367. None of them slept. None of them played games, told jokes on the side. They paid attention. I was impressed. But 367, 425 attending, and all those mouths to feed, and they did a good, commendable job. Now, we've got a list of things we can improve on for the next time, and we'll work on it, but I was really impressed how they handled all that work. This is a letter from evangelist Camilo Sampson. And he gave it to me July 15th, 2023. To our most beloved missionaries, greetings in the most precious name, and he misspelled our, but Lord Jesus Christ, sir. We are so thankful to God for giving us a victory over all difficulties of life, most especially the ministry, the ones I had told you about. Last year, the devil is trying to shake the church, and sad to say, the three of our ordained ministers were shaken, and they are totally fall down and never survive. Jesus loves the sinner, but he hates sin. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. A total separation from the presence of God. Anyway, our God is merciful, and he is always ready to forgive if they will repent and return to the Lord. We still love them and keep on praying for them that someday they will come back to the Lord. Our mission work here in the Philippines is growing step by step. Our faithful leaders and the priesthood members are working hard and preaching their gospel around their areas of responsibility. And the Lord confirms his words, and more baptized members were added to the church, and also more new open missions in different places around. To God be the glory. We are thankful to our beloved missionaries for all their hard labor and sacrifices in doing their best for the growth. Now he's thanking Gordon and I for our hard labor and sacrifice. And those of you that have been there know that there is, but who makes it possible? You, the Church of Christ, stepping up to the plate with your prayers, your support, your tithes, your offering, your goodwill. That's your hard labor and sacrifice in doing their best for the growth of the church's work here in the Philippines. And we would also like to extend our gratitude for our brothers and sisters in the U.S. for their unfolded love in sending their support for the growth of our mission here in the Philippines. Lastly, we would like to thank you, Sir Mike and Sir Gordon, for your much love and concern for the fast expansion of the mission work here. We really love you, and we are always behind you in our prayers. We hope for the best, and may God bless you more abundantly. Yours in his service, Evangelist Camilo Sampson. And that's a picture of Camilo taken years ago. And he's a quiet guy. You'll find him at the back of the assembly, unless needed, unless called upon, but he's always quick with a word at the right time. He has taught classes, religious classes, as an evangelist to government employees. He's been to prisons and taught in prisons, and wherever the ministry sends him, he is quick to serve. I want to close with Jeremiah 17 and read about 10 verses. Jeremiah 17, starting with verse 1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Now, it's talking about Judah, primarily two tribes. But Isaiah addressed the other 10 before they were dispersed. But as it's talking about sin, talking to you and I. Commit a sin, where is it? Written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond, graven upon the table of the heart and upon the horns of your altars. False gods, diversions that take us away from the Lord and our work for the Lord. I'm guilty of that. And I know as you look at your heart, your mind, upon your soul. Verse 2, whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hill. And the prophet is talking to the people, reminding them that the wrong turn choice they have made. Their children remember what has displaced the Lord, the altars that were set up to honor the false god Moloch and child sacrifice. And if you come down to our day and time, look at what divides us from the worldly concept within the United States and how we handle child sacrifices, not upon a burning fire, but upon when there is life in the womb or not, when is right, when is it wrong. The only thing that determines a removal of the false things of the world is if we follow God, His commandments. And we can only do that in the humility of our heart if we're a party, right or wrong, or the other party, right or wrong. We're divided. But under the Lord, that's where we want to be. That's where Jeremiah sought to bring his group back, and Isaiah his group. And we, as children of Christ, reach out this day to bring them back to the Lord. Verse 3, O my mountain in the field. And it's talking about Jerusalem established and set up on a plain field. A plain field, but yet the Lord made it as a mountain. A firm structure, yes. But more than that, it was the Lord's mountain. And the concept of Zion. Will their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hill? O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil and the high places for sin throughout all thy borders. God gave away all their accumulated wealth because they rejected him. They forgot about him. They were on a false path, leading away from the Lord. And it says the Lord was angry. A cause and an effect. He disinherited them for a time. And now it is time that they be brought back. And thou even thyself shall discontinue from thine heritage which I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. But you and I have accepted something and believe something and live for something that will bring them back. The Lord Jesus Christ. Bring them back in Christ and peace once again with God, with man, and in time with the world. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. That was the advice then, but also today. Cursed be the man that trusts in man, and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. What is a heath? It's a small desert deer. In the Philippines, they have deer. Charles Branton and I, we went to a lumber yard where they had a male and a female, and they're about 20%, maybe 25% the size of our deer. They are small little critters. It's an island. But they're small. And I would suppose that the desert deer were small. Living on a desert. They remembered their last meal, but that last meal was gone as soon as they ate it. They were subjected to the present. They could look forward to a future not knowing where the next meal would come from. And it says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. A man that trusts in the arm of flesh is like that desert deer. You may remember the last meal. You may not have one to partake of now. And certainly you don't know where the next is coming. But verse 7, blessed is the man or woman that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. A tree planted by the water. Continuous source of life-giving strength. And with that life-giving strength, the leaves flourish. And it does its work. And it continues to grow. That spreads out its roots by the river and shall not see when heat comes. Protected of the Lord. Yes, we'll know it's warm. But protected from the heat source. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And we know that fruit is important. Your fruit, my fruit, our fruit. For the Lord has said there should be fruit, more fruit, and then much fruit. And if we believe that and have entered into this work, it's not over till it's over. Isaiah 30, 25. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter. Again, the dependence of rivers and streams of water upon every high mountain and high hill. And surely, this center place is a high mountain. And surely, wherever the seed is planted in the name of Christ, by the Church of Christ, is a high hill. Rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. The strength that man depends upon. Back to verse 9 on Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. We can't hide from the Lord, nor our work, our service, our heart. The Lord knows it. Steve, what is that? Yeah, put your glasses on. You might have seen it. It almost looks like bamboo, but they're very thin vines. And some of them will grow 30, 40 feet long. The vine goes up a tree, branches over to another, sends down individual tentacles, plant, until it reaches the ground. And then it quits. They call it the Philippine curtain. I'm sure it has a fancy name to it, but they call it the Philippine curtain. There are many beautiful things in the Philippines, and I'm sure there are in Africa where a seed has been planted. And I know there is in Yucatan where another seed has been planted. And I know in Honduras that flourishes because of the work of an elder, a couple of elders down there. Wherever the Lord plants his seed, and there is a genuine heart that will receive, the work will grow within you, within all, within the Church of Christ. And I thank you very much for your time. I thank you for sending Gordon and I this last trip. I would have shown more pictures, but David said my time is up. So I thank you very much.